My brothers and sisters, we come to a Sunday when the scriptures move us to understand the issue of transformation. Transformation, as you know, is a marked change in form, nature, or appearance. At least we're told that by the Oxford English Dictionary. And transformation is really one of the key goals and purposes of the religious life, the spiritual life. We come to this place on Sunday to look for transformation within ourselves, within the community, within the world. And each of the lessons today that we read speak to us of that. Even the collect, may your people illumined by your word and sacraments shine with the radiance of his glory, that he may be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. You see, there is a link, if you will, between the relationship that we have with God and how that becomes manifest in the world through us, through our actions, through who we are. And in Isaiah we read, you shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, my delight is in her, and your land married. So what we have here is a later Isaiah speaking of the people of Israel who have gone through the exile, who have been restored to their land, and now the expectation is that they will reveal the full glory of God. They have been transformed from their lives of sinfulness in the past, and they've been transformed into this new community which worships and proclaims the presence of God in the world. Now, the psalm in particular is beautiful today and really uses images which give us a sense of where this transformation comes from. We read, for with you is the well of life, and in your light we see light. Continue your loving kindness to those who know you, and your favor to those who are true of heart. Again, we have this sense of the fullness of God being shown to us as a dynamic force that changes us, and we become, if you will, the manifestations of that force in the world by showing loving kindness and by giving favor to those who are true of heart. Paul goes on and speaks about the gifts. Now there are varieties of gifts but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Now just a word about the common good. You see, we are a people that fundamentally believe in the common good. We believe that those who have been called to be in a relationship with God, and we believe that that's far greater than any of the numbers that you may see in church on Sunday, we believe that we are part of a response to God. And that response means that we have given to us a ministry of ensuring that that which is done in the world is done for the common good and not for any particular group, person, political party, corporation, whatever. Now, this common good is important because when we begin to look at our own transformation, what we begin to see is that this whole process of transformation that we go through actually, again, invites us to engage more fully in the world. The transformation that we're seeking is not just a personal transformation. If it was only that, it would not be the gospel. The gospel is for the world. It is to be proclaimed to the world. It is to be given to the world. And the only means by which that can be done is our willingness to cooperate with that and be part of it, manifest that in the things that we do, think, and say. Now the gospel reading, I have always found a bit of a strange reading, I have to tell you. But I believe I see that in John, what he's trying to do is show transformation. Not the transformation, by the way, of the water into wine. That's not the transformation we're looking for, but I wish we knew how to do that. No, rather it is Jesus' transformation from the Son of Mary to the Chosen One of Israel. Now, we remember at the beginning, we have the great proclamation of the Word being with us. And then we have the baptism of Jesus. And then we have this. And then we move into that wonderful passage which really initiates this whole understanding of Jesus, the Chosen One, transforming himself and through himself being transformed, transforming the world. Remember, Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the third chapter of John, and that really kicks everything off and begins to move to a whole new level of understanding of transformation. Now, the reality is we don't think a lot about transformation. And on the one hand, it's because transformation tends to be incremental. It's not like like St. Paul on the road to Damascus. You know, this great thing happens and all of a sudden your whole life changes and goes into a new direction. I'm not saying that doesn't happen. It does to some people. But most of us, that doesn't happen. So transformation is something which is incremental. The one important thing to understand by transformation also is that transformation and change are not the same thing. Change is inevitable. Transformation takes conscious thought and commitment to see it happen. And so our lives are incrementally changed. But what helps us to understand this process of transformation is when we see other people who teach us about transformation. And I immediately thought of, in my past life as a parish priest, a particular situation. I'm going to basically read this. It's a story I wrote, but having to do with this one person who, in my sense, exemplifies the transformation we're talking about. Some years ago, when I was a parish priest, I left home to attend a meeting at 2 p.m. The meeting was in one of the parish churches, and by the time I got to the town I was going to, I had just enough time to pick up a few things at the local grocery store. So I went into the grocery store, and as I was pushing my cart from aisle to aisle, I came around the corner, and there before me, I found a grizzled-looking short fellow wearing an orange and yellow reflecting jacket, usually worn by roadwork crews. Now, I knew the vision before me was not a member of a work crew. He was a well-known member of our village community, and although developmentally handicapped and economically challenged, he was known for his amazing memory and for information and facts about the Bible. And every time he met someone, he would talk about Jesus. "Tom," I said, "how are you doing with the cancer treatments? You must be over them by now." Now, most people would have commented on his outer apparel, but Tom always had been a free soul and marched definitively to a beat of another drummer. He said, "Thank the Lord, I finished the treatments a few weeks ago and I'm feeling some better now. I noticed that you don't have a shopping cart. Do you need any help?" He shook his head sagely. "No, I'm just looking around. I won't be buying anything today." And then he leaned in closer and said in a not-so-quiet voice, "Who could afford to buy anything here? Look at those shocking prices." Then he stepped back. I'm waiting for the transport shuttle to take me home to the village. It leaves at 5. I just hope I get there before the post office closes. Are you expecting a parcel or a letter? No. I'm going to meet someone there who says they are Father with me. Well, that's wonderful, and really important, too. You're right to say it's important. It really is. Again, he leaned closer and said, do you know who I'm going to pray with? I shook my head. Again, he leaned in closer and looked as if he were going to tell me a secret. I'm going to say the Our Father with Linda, the postmistress. We started saying prayers at the end of the day a few months ago. I hope I'm not late. Well, that sounds great, Tom. I really hope it works out. Now, I've got to run to get to my meeting on time, and I'll see you soon. With that, I drove to the church. Going into the church, I resolved that I would seek Tom out at the grocery store if my meeting ended early enough. And sure enough, at 4:45, I swung by and picked Tom up and got him to the post office by 5:20. The post office usually closed at 5:30, and I went in with him to get our mail. Tom strode in and said, well, thanks to Dennis, I got here on time. Then he turned to me, do you want to join us for prayer? I said, sure, I'd be honored. Well, this is what we do. I say my special prayer, then we have a few moments of silence, then we say the Our Father together, and that's that. And that's what we did. Tom's prayer was beautiful. He folded his hands, he closed his eyes and bowed his head. Dear God, bless our village. Help all the old folks that find getting old hard. Help the children to grow up right. Bless my friends, especially Linda and Dennis, who are praying with me today. And help me be a darn sight better person than I am. Amen. We stayed quiet for a moment, and then Tom began the Lord's Prayer, which he led with a voice of conviction. We were quiet again at the end. Because Linda had to close up the post office, she moved to do her chores. She passed out our mail. I looked at Tom and said, can I drive you up the hill to your home? No, he said, I don't know why, but I always like praying as I go up the hill. Keep your eyes up. Look up toward heaven. That's what I always like to say. And so he did. And as far as I know, he continues to do that. We sang a hymn just a little while ago, and these were some of the words. O God, the Spirit you in love moved me, who once was nowhere and felt unknown. I know my need of you for companion. All things can change when not on my own. And with the people summoned together to be the church in which faith is sown, I make my promise to live for Jesus and let the world know all are his own. And that is the task. If indeed we are members of the household of faith, and if indeed we believe in this Jesus and believe that our relationship is fundamental, then we let the world know through who we are, what we say, what we think, what we do, and people get to know Jesus. Tom taught me that in a very tangible way, because what we did in the post office is what he did every day of his life. And every time he meets someone, he talks about Jesus. And when he leaves them, he said, God go with you. Amen.